Hello and welcome to this mini episode from What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy. This one is all about food.
Welcome along to the show. Thanks for joining us. Now, as Amy said, we're talking about food. This is a very important topic when it comes to travelling.
Now, in this episode, we are going to hear a lot from you guys. So we've got your food suggestions to read out. Then we're going to talk about my top three foods and countries for food. Then we're going to have more listener suggestions. Then we're going to have Nick's top three. Then we're going to have more suggestions from you guys. Then we're going to talk about worst food places, because that's quite a big topic as well. Then we're going to have more suggestions from you guys. Then Nick and I are going to design our best free course meal at the end of the episode as well, depending on foods from around the world. And then we're going to finish with honourable mentions from around the world, foods that you just have to know about.
So we've been thinking about doing an episode on this topic for a while, but we thought, is this really travel related? Are people going to like it? But yeah, judging by the response, it is something that everyone loves.
It is indeed. Now, guys, just so we can update you of where we have just arrived in North Brazil. Well, Northeast Brazil. We're in the state of Ceará. And I know we say this on our episode since we've been traveling full time. But today, especially, we do apologise about the background noise. We've tried very hard to sort this out, but it's just not working. But it's very atmospheric. You know, we've got Brazilian people shouting outside, beeping, selling things. So hopefully, if you can hear it, just adds to the essence of the episode.
And just before we started recording, there was music in the street as well. And we're like, oh my God. Because the thing is, we have to record today, basically. We're running out of opportunities to do this. And we're sat in an Airbnb at the moment. And the city we're in is Fortaleza. But yeah, we can hear everything that's going on outside. We don't know how much this is coming through. Hopefully not much, but bear with us. We are doing our best.
This episode is sponsored by Storyteller, the travel accessories company that helps provide access to a quality education for individuals in less privileged areas of the world.
So, Nick, why are we doing a food episode?
Now, in my head, I keep going back and forth about what is my favourite part of travelling, because sometimes it actually is food. So it's a big topic to talk about, but I've come to a conclusion that my favourite part of travelling is the people.
Really?
Yeah, people make places for
sure. You're going to say that on the food episode?
No, okay. Well, I'm being honest. People are the number one reason that I like to travel, but honestly, I think my second favourite thing about travel is trying food from all around the world. Well, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say the people is definitely my top.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you're the one that's always banging on about food. So, food is very, very, very close second.
Exactly. So it makes sense to do an episode about food.
Yeah, so as Nick said earlier, we asked for your suggestions on Instagram. So again, if you're not following us, then make sure you are, because especially these mini episodes, we do like to have your input. So if you want to get on the podcast, then follow us on Instagram, basically. So let's start with some suggestions. David Williams, who we met in Brazil, actually, the last time we were here last year, he said that feijoada in Brazil is the best food as far as he's concerned.
And David Williams, you are correct. Episode over.
Over, done. It is for sure the best food. Now, if you don't know what feijoada is, we need to sort that out right now, because it's the best food. And you already know that we're just going to bang on about how great Brazil is in this episode. Now, feijoada is a Brazilian or Portuguese stew. They both have it. It's black beans with pork and other meat and vegetables served with rice. Now, the rice is something special because they have different types of rice. You can get garlic rice and pork rice.
Oh, both equally as good.
Oh, God, they're so good. So, well, they're pretty self-explanatory. The garlic is cooked with an abundance of garlic. Like, think of something that's quite garlicky and triple it. It's that garlicky, but it's so good. And the pork rice is cooked in pork fat. And so it's very unhealthy, but really good.
It is. And the whole thing with feijoada and Brazilian food in general is really underrated. It's so much flavour. Okay, there's a lot of meat as well. If you're a vegetarian, it's not the place for you, I guess. But the flavour and a feijoada, just a spoonful of the feijoada sauce, Oh my God. And I don't know why Brazilian food is not more popular around the world. I can only assume that people don't really know about it, because before we came to Brazil, we didn't know much about it, did we?
No, I don't think we'd been to a Brazilian restaurant.
No, the ones back in England are the ones where they serve it on a stick and they carve it off. But that's not really real Brazilian food, I don't think.
Well, I think it is. It's just not that common here. The common way to eat here is by peso, which is like by weight. So it's a buffet and then you take your plate, get it weighed, and that's how much you pay.
Yeah, that's the traditional Brazilian way. But great way to start, David, because I think we agree with you. That is our favourite food anyway. Feijoada from Brazil. We'll move on to actually another Brazilian, but he's not mentioning Brazilian food here. Gustavo Parada, who we have stayed with twice in Brazil, so a good friend of ours. He said Portugal, for him, is the best food. In particular, pastel de Belém. Now, most people might know pastel de nata. Amy, care to explain?
Yeah, so this is a custard tart, basically, and it's dusted with cinnamon on the top. Now, I'm definitely a savoury person. I'm not much of a sweet person, because I'm sweet enough. But, oh my God, I fell in love with these things, and they're so addictive. You'll end up eating two a day on your trip, and yeah, you'll just be addicted.
Yeah, when we were in Lisbon, I was averaging about two a day. It became a daily thing, like, oh, time for another pastel de nata. So that's the most common name for them. But what Gustavo has said was pastel de Belém, and that's just because that means they're made in a part of Lisbon called Belém. So technically, if one of these pastels is made in Rio de Janeiro, for example, it should be called pastel de Rio de Janeiro. Is that right?
Yes, very correct of you.
I believe that is the rule. But yeah, like an egg custard tart, and they are delicious, but definitely a must when you go to Lisbon. Actually, anywhere in Portugal.
Yeah, absolutely, because we travelled around and we went to Porto, and that was actually where our favourite one was.
Yeah, I think that was our favourite one in Porto. Controversial.
Pastel de Porto.
Yeah, that's true. You're learning. Very
How
good.
English did I sound there? Pastel de Porto. Can I just point out as well that Gustavo, who mentioned the pastel de Belém, he is Brazilian himself, like you said, Nick, but he chose Portugal because he didn't think he was allowed to choose his own country for food.
So basically, that's another vote for Brazil.
Next up, it's Charlie Keep, aka Pocket Trailblazer. Now, she said chicken parmigiana from Australia, which sounds Italian to me, Charlie. So I don't think it's originally from Australia. But apparently, this food is breaded chicken breast topped with tomato sauce and cheese.
I mean, sounds good.
Sounds very good.
I like that sort of food. I think when it came to Australia, when we were there, We had kangaroo, didn't we, actually, in Australia?
Ooh, yeah.
Which, for Australian food, that's really good, and Australians are good at barbecue. I don't think I've had... Well, actually, I have had chicken breast with tomato sauce and cheese, maybe not in the form of parmigiana, but that was her favourite one in Australia.
Nice one, Charlie.
Now, Preston Podolski, who we actually met in Oslo, he got in touch. Now, this might be a bit of a controversial one. He said, Ireland's corned beef cabbage was the bomb.
That does not sound like very nice.
Well, Ireland is probably not the same as England, really. Ireland's probably not famous for its food, but I do like corned beef. But corned beef cabbage, it doesn't sound very appetizing, does it?
Did you understand the brief? I mean, we were asking for the best foods around the world. I mean, each their own. Everybody has different taste buds. So thanks for that. We also heard from Carlos. He said, I've only been in India for 2 days and the best food is here. Yeah.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to agree with you there, Carlos, because we love India, as you'll know if you've heard other episodes of this podcast. And the main reason why we first went there was because of the food.
Yeah, and the thing is with Indian food, I love proper traditional Indian food, and I love the English twist on Indian food. So just any version of Indian food, I love. The thing that we didn't realise at first is when we went to India, it's pretty much all vegetarian. And bearing in mind a whole country almost is vegetarian, still, you know, if you're a meat eater, it doesn't matter. The food is out of this world.
It really is. And when we went there, we thought, because, you know, India has this whole Delhi belly situation where everybody's quite scared to eat the food. And I understand why, but I think that is way back in like the 80s and 90s that sort of thing went on. Because, you know, as long as you're eating cooked food and not being silly and eating fruit and vegetables that haven't been cooked, then you're pretty much going to be fine. We've been there twice. We went by those rules and neither of us got deli belly, did we?
That's very true. No, we didn't. And of course, yep, it does happen to people, but yeah, you can be unlucky. But like Amy said, just stick to the rules, eat cooked hot food and you should be fine. But yeah, India, we have to agree. It's up there with our favourites. So Martin got in touch and he said the Czech Republic for its soups. He said they have many types. And also, he's mentioned Brazil as well. Good
yes.
man. And Brazil for their churrasco. Did I get that right?
No, churrasco.
I keep getting that word wrong. That means barbecue. Yeah, they are famous here for their barbecues. But the Czech Republic for soups. Now, that did actually make me think of places like where we've been, like Hungary. You get like goulash soup in the bread bowl. That's really good, isn't it? Oh, hello, mate. He agrees.
he is loving the soup.
Not sure if that came through, a Brazilian guy outside. but yeah, there are some good soups in that part of Europe, aren't there?
Yeah, and like I wouldn't call them what English people traditionally call a soup. I think they're a lot thicker than that. They're kind of more of a what we would call a stew, more of a thick gravy.
Yeah,
like
with
a goulash.
Potatoes and meat in it. It's like a full meal, isn't it?
Oh, it's so good. If you haven't already realised, well, I think we definitely should have eaten directly before this.
Yeah,
people we're gonna be
listening.
Hungry.
Yeah, if you're listening while you're hungry, then we are sorry.
But tonight I'm cooking naked burritos for dinner. That's not me cooking naked. That's naked, i.e. no wraps, because I'm gluten free. So
you looked at me, you could see in my eyes. That's exactly what I thought. I was about to say that.
There's a little twinkle there.
Okay, moving on.
Ashley Hogan said China is the best, but as a vegetarian, I'd struggle. However, their tofu is the best. Ah, okay. So vegetarian and vegans, I've got a little tip for you. Tel Aviv in Israel is the best place for you guys. It's the most vegan and vegetarian friendly place on earth, as far as we're aware.
And it's all delicious, isn't it? Very good food.
Oh, really good. I mean, the hummus there is unbelievable.
We'll be mentioning that later, I think. But Ashley, China, yep, I've actually heard mixed reviews about China. I've only had English Chinese food.
No, you haven't. Well, I guess that's strictly true. But do you remember when we went to London with our friend Nikki?
Yes.
And we went into a traditional Chinese restaurant.
Okay. Yeah, I remember us going. I don't remember what I had to eat. But,
okay.
Yeah, okay. But Ashley did say tofu. I've got to say, I've never had a good bit of tofu. It's all about what spices and flavours you cook it in, because I think tofu itself is tasteless. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
I think so. But hey, I'll be happy to be proved wrong, but I haven't had any good tofu so far.
So there you go, Ashley. There's a little challenge for you there. You need to show us some good restaurants around London,
maybe. Well, let
us
know. Yeah, how do you eat good tofu? But let's move on, because I'm looking forward to this part. Amy's going to give us its top three countries and talk about the food in those countries.
Okay, so I'm going to start with Israel. This is in no particular order. These are just three that I love. So Israel, which I just mentioned, their hummus is out of this world.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. We've been spoilt now. We're never going to be able to find hummus as good as that ever again, are we?
No, I think I'm going to have to learn how to make good hummus. Because when we first arrived in Israel, there were lots of hummus cooking classes. And I joked to Nick thinking, why do you need a hummus cooking class? What's the difficult part of it? You boil some chickpeas, blend them up and hey presto. But no, how wrong I was. Not that we've done the class, but you know, they put tahini in it, which is I believe like ground up sesame seed,
sesame oil and
powder, and they put that in it. But the place we went to was in a market in Tel Aviv, and it was an old synagogue turned restaurant, and it was such a cool place. And it was one of those places, very hipster, you know, you kind of go in, eat what you want and then leave. It's not a whole restaurant thing. You just grab and go. But they give you this bowl of hummus and then they put the chickpeas in it, the really good olive oil, and then they put the fresh onion on top as well.
Chopped up raw onion. Yeah.
They really decorate the plate and then they give you this awesome bread to go with it, and it's just out of this world. The other parts of Israel that I love is shakshuka. So this is a tomato dish with eggs in it and garlic and onion. I think you can eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, any meal. I think it's probably best for breakfast. But yeah, I'd have it any time of the day.
Mm. And we also had some very good brunches in Tel Aviv as well. And the quantity was unbelievable, wasn't it?
We couldn't believe this place we went to. Yeah, for how we sound like such idiots. Brunch. This place we went for brunch. But I think it was like, I don't know, £10, I think. And yeah, oh my God, they brought so much stuff. It was almost like a 2 or 3 course brunch. But all really, really high quality food. Tel Aviv in particular, in Israel, is a good place to go if you like your food.
Now, my second country, if you haven't already guessed, is Brazil. So the good food, which we explained earlier, feijoada, the meat stew. They also have churrasco, which is the word that you find very difficult.
Barbecue.
Now, this isn't just like a barbecue we'd have in the UK. They really, really care about the meat that they're putting on the barbecue. And the ones that we've had with our host, Gustavo, he has this special barbecue where you put the meat on this stick and it rotates round this fire, and it just makes it, it just perfectly cooks it, doesn't
it? That's when you know you've made it in life, rotating meat. And you can see all like the fat dripping off it, and you got meats on top of each other, so the fat from the meat at the top is dripping onto the meat underneath it.
It really is a vegetarian's nightmare.
Yeah, we'll be honest, it is, but that's what they do in Brazil. But yeah, like you were saying, a barbecue back home, you might have a few burgers and sausages. They have, well, you don't call them sausages. They're very kind of posh sausages. Do you remember the name?
Oh, linguiças, I think.
Delicious. Linguiças. And the meat, the best one, what was it? Picanha?
Picanha.
Picanha, like just the best bit of steak.
It's like Angus steak.
Amazing, like easy to cut and to chew it. It's no effort at all.
You know, just sometimes melts in the mouth.
Sometimes steak is chewy. But yeah, I was in love with it. But it's a bit strange for us how it's just meat. Oh, and some garlic bread, really nice garlic bread.
Oh,
which
God,
is cooked
guys.
In the rotating oven.
Can we just explain this garlic bread just quickly?
So, so simple, but so great.
So they put it on the stick as well, and it rotates round. And so the garlic fat is like dripping on, is at the top. So it's dripping on the other meat. And I just lost my mind.
But yeah, meat, garlic bread, and that's it. Like they just chop all the meat up, chop the garlic bread up, and you have a drink and you just pick at it. But that's what they do, where we would have meat as well as salad and maybe pasta and rice and other things. They're just all about the meat. But it was pretty good, wasn't it?
I think sometimes they eat rice with it, the first time we did. But yeah, I know what you're saying. It is mainly meat. And the other thing I need to mention from Brazil is, and I want to say this in the Brazilian way, not in the Spanish way, dulce de leche.
Leite.
Anyway, in Spanish, it's dulce de leche. It translates as sweet milk. But I don't really like dairy products that much. It's not milk. It's like a caramel. And it blows my mind every time I eat it. So this morning we made banana pancakes with strawberries. And we use this as kind of our sauce with it. Although it's not very saucy. It's not that liquidy, is it?
It's quite thick. You can chew it. And you can have it in a donut or you're on pancakes. People even have it for breakfast on toast. Do you remember in Argentina?
Yeah, now this kind of baffles me a little bit because I'm not one of those people that can eat Nutella for breakfast. But when we were in Argentina last year, I got addicted to it. And the mornings where we didn't have it, I was like, but what am I going to do? Where's my dulce de leche? Oh my God. So yeah, it weirdly goes really well in the mornings.
And to finish off your Brazil chat, one of your favourite drinks in the world?
Oh. For sure, my favourite alcoholic drink, a caipirinha. Now, if you don't know what this is, it's going to blow your mind.
They're mad. Brazilians are fucking crazy.
So you actually learned how to make these properly, didn't you?
Yeah, mate, I'm a pro.
You got a pro lesson with Gustavo with making these. So it's a drink that consists of ice, lemon or lime, as we would call it, limão in Portuguese, sugar and cachaça. Now, you might be thinking, but where's the mixer, Amy?
No Coke, no lemonade.
No, there is none. It is just a full glass of alcohol, but like full-on spirit. So yeah, the spirit's called cachaça, and you can get loads of different types. And normally if you go somewhere like to buy a bottle of something and it's only like £1 or £2, you think, oh, that's the cheap, horrible stuff. But no, my friend, you can get good cachaça for like £1.20.
Yeah, a big bottle, but you need it to be big because, like Amy said, it fills up the whole drink. So after maybe like 4 cocktails, the bottle's gone. But yeah, £1 or £2 for a full bottle of cachaça, and this stuff is strong. But because you mix like the juice from the lime and then you chuck a load of sugar in it, it tastes strong. You think, whoa, there's a lot of alcohol in there, but it also tastes really nice.
Oh, it's so, so refreshing.
Yeah, you can keep drinking them, but honestly, it takes two, and not just you, anyone, Amy. It takes two caipirinhas and anyone is off their trolley, as we say in England.
I'm gone. The first caipirinha I had, we shared it, didn't we?
Yeah.
I had half the glass and I was drunk.
But they're fantastic. So tasty, refreshing on a hot day. And we love them.
And you don't get hangover on them.
Oh, yeah. I'm convinced it's because of all the lime juice, you know, all the fruit in there, that it prevents a hangover. Also, me and Gustavo were talking. We've got a theory. Because Brazil is so hot and sweaty, throughout the night, you sweat out all the alcohol. But we've been in Brazil for a couple of weeks now as we record this. And actually, I'm surprised how much you've drunk. It has been Christmas and New Year's, but we've drunk a lot. I haven't been hungover once in Brazil, and I put that down to sweat and the lime juice.
It's so true. I've had the same thing. So there's obviously something going on.
Right, you're next in your top three countries?
Actually, unless Gustavo, like in the night, was hydrating us with some like injections or something, just so we think Brazil was a really good country.
You will love Brazil.
You don't get hangovers here.
It doesn't give you a hangover. It's the best country ever.
Right, let's go to more listener suggestions.
Well, you haven't mentioned your third favourite country. We know what it is.
Oh, sorry.
We know what it is.
India. Yeah, of course. I mean, the curries, the sauces, the veggie side of it all, the rice, the breads. Oh my God, yeah. How could you not love it? And the one thing that annoys me with Indian food is when people haven't tried it and they go, oh, I don't like spicy food. It's not spicy. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah, that's like half of it.
That's just a ridiculous thing to say. Like, you don't need it to be spicy, but it has spices in it. That doesn't mean it's spicy. Know your food. So, getting on my high horse here. I'm not even a chef. So, but no, honestly, if you haven't tried it already, there's so many different types of curry as well. You can get, if you go down to the south, you get more coconut curries. So, obviously, coconut isn't spicy. And even if it has a little bit of spice in it, the coconut will calm that down. So, yeah, I would definitely recommend everyone to try Indian food.
And they're quite good on yogurts over there, and that calms it down a lot. Calms yeah. down your stomach.
Yeah, lassis, which I'm sure you'll explain later.
I will get to lassis. That's true. Okay, yeah. So that's Amy's top three. Israel, Brazil, India. Good three there. So let's go to more listener suggestions. We've got loads to get through. Ellen Hiddell said, all the pinchos in northern Spain. That's her favourite. I didn't actually know what this was when I looked it up. And I guess real foodies would say, this is bad for me to say, but it's a bit like tapas. You know, bar snacks, bread, meat, cheese, things like that. But I do really like bar snacks, especially when you've got a nice drink on the go, whether it's wine or a beer. But it does, it goes very well with little snacky food.
Especially meats and cheeses.
Oh yeah, you're right. The best for sure.
Corey Liddell said Mexico, no doubt, but Morocco is a close second.
Okay, so Mexico, we actually haven't been to Mexico. We have had some proper...
I've been to Mexico,
okay.
Nick, so...
Yeah, okay, but you want to talk about food you had in Mexico?
I could talk about food in Mexico.
But when you went, I think you were 13, weren't you? And as most 13-year-olds, you're a bit scared of trying new food, so all you ate was apples the whole time you were there.
I also had other foods.
Other fruits? Had a banana? Actually, you don't even like bananas, do you? Right. No, but what I was going to say was, we haven't been to Mexico. Well, okay, you've been to Mexico. I haven't. We haven't really tried the food there, but one of your good friends is Mexican, and at her wedding, there was proper Mexican food, not like the Tex-Mex stuff that we're used to, but Tex-Mex and proper Mexican food. I love it all. I really do like Mexican food.
Yeah, so my friend Gabby had a load of Mexican chefs at her wedding and they made unbelievable Mexican street food.
And all vegetarian.
Yeah, it really was. So there was a lot of jackfruit in there as well, which is a good substitute for pork. And yeah, it was just unbelievable. Tacos and burritos and loads of little nibbles. It was amazing.
Yeah, lots of stuff we've never heard of before, but all really good food. So Corey, that's a good point. But Corey also mentioned Morocco, and we're going to talk about Morocco later. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on. We heard from Kendall Husband, who mentioned the Netherlands. He said, can't get enough of those stroopwafels. He also mentioned Indonesian food is up there. First, stroopwafels, Amy, go.
Yeah, I really like these. So actually our Dutch friend bought them for us. That was the first time I tried them. They are incredibly sweet. So if you don't know what they are, they're circular in shape and they kind of got a crisscross design on them. And they're waffles that are just covered in sugar and like caramelized.
Very thin as well, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they're kind of like two thin ones put together and I think there's sugar in the middle.
Yeah, but they are very, very good. So I'd agree with you there, Kendall. But Indonesian food, I remember Indonesian food being all right when we went, but it was quite a long time ago. And to be honest, I don't remember much, but this is bad. The one time I do remember we had a really good meal in Indonesia, we just really craved like a burger and we found this really good place for a burger. So that's not saying much about Indonesian food, but I think it generally is good food, isn't it?
Yeah, out of the Asian countries, I'm not sure it like stands out because, you know, Thai cuisine really stands out, but I think it was good enough. I do love a curry and I love rice and things like that, so yeah, it's good food for me.
Right on.
Robbie Coulter is up next. He said Indonesia also unique and delicious, and most of it is vegan friendly. Oh, there you go, we've learned something. Vegan friendly,
didn't know that, but another shout out there to Indonesia. And finally, for this section of the show, Chris said Bilbao in Spain, and it's another mention for pinchos, aka tapas.
Very nice.
But I must admit, picky little Spanish food, yeah, the meats and the cheeses, like you said earlier, Amy, is fantastic. You can't go too wrong with Spanish meats and cheeses.
No, you can't. Right, so next is Nick's top three. So we've been through mine. I said Brazil, India, and Israel. Who are you going to say?
Okay, my number one is Brazil, broken record. We've spoke about it a lot, so I'm just going to move on to the next one. India, also a broken record, but I do want to give a good shout out to lassis, and in particular, a mango lassi. It's like a sort of yogurt milkshake drink thing, and it's so tasty and creamy and really nice and perfect to settle your stomach after a spicy curry. Although, like we said, they're not all spicy. And I'd also like to give a shout out to chana masala, which is chickpeas.
Oh, yeah.
So we've already mentioned chickpeas with
hummus.
Hummus. I couldn't remember the name then. Yeah, that's right. But chana masala, yeah, like chickpeas with spices. Very delicious. Whoa, she agrees.
She loves chickpeas.
And finally, one of my favorite things in India is vegetable pakoras. Not a very big thing in England. We tend to have onion bhajis, so they're a bit like onion bhajis but mixed vegetables deep fried in a kind of chickpea batter, I think. Oh, then talk about good bar snacks with a drink. They are perfect. Vegetable pakoras.
Very nice. Can I just interject there?
Please.
And just explain that when you're talking about like UK curries or English curries, if you haven't been to the UK, then you might not know that our biggest cuisine in our country is Indian food. You will find endless Indian, Bangladeshi, Nepalese restaurants everywhere.
This is true. We love it, don't we?
Yeah. So when you talk about like English curries, that's what you're referring to.
It's funny that they are the national favorite dish isn't even from our country. Although we do have chicken tikka masala, which actually was invented in Birmingham, I think. Birmingham or Glasgow, one of those two.
Yeah. So everyone thinks it's an Indian curry, but it's actually English food.
Yeah. The third one in my top three, this was tough because I like food all over the place, to be honest, but I was very impressed with Portugal. In particular, there's a sandwich which is famous in Porto called Francesinha.
Francesinha.
Which means little French girl.
Oh, well done. You remembered.
There's nothing little about this. It's the most epic sandwich I've ever had in my life. It's like three layers of bread, I think. Five different meats inside it. This like spicy sauce it's like drenched in, which also has a bit of wine in the sauce. Well, I could taste wine anyway. Then the sandwich is covered in cheese, which is on the outside, covered in melted cheese. And then there's a fried egg on top. It's ridiculous. It is as ridiculous as it sounds, but very tasty. And we shared one for lunch and we weren't hungry for the rest of the day.
No, we didn't eat dinner.
It's crazy. So that's really good. So Francis Senior, tried to get that when you're in Porto. And we mentioned pastel de natas, the little egg custard tarts. I had them on the daily. I was loving them. Meats and cheeses. We spoke about kind of Spanish and Portuguese, like Iberian ham and cheese is always very good. And bacalhau, which is codfish, but like codfish cakes in Portugal. I was in love with these. So, so tasty. So that's another good one, bacalhau, when you're in Portugal.
Yeah, and I don't actually like fish, but I really like these bacalhau cakes. They're really good. So I'd recommend getting them.
Great. We've done our top three. Let's rattle through some more listener suggestions. Now, you know this one's going to be good because it's from
Ryan Sanim.
The legend that is Ryan Sanim. And before we read this, can I just say, I'm sure you'll be listening, Ryan, long-term listener to the show. We have a bit of a running joke. It's not a bad thing. We think you're a legend. But whenever we go somewhere in the world and we say, oh, we need tips of this, you know, can someone help us with that? Ryan always pops up. He's either been there, lived there. He's like a man of the world. And we're thinking, like, how old is this guy? Because he's lived in so many places around the world. So you're a bit of a legend, Ryan. But you know his suggestion is going to be good. So take it away, Amy.
Wait, can I just say, when we do joke about things, if we go to a new country, we always say, like, I bet Ryan's lived here for 20 years.
Yeah, when I was there 20 years ago. But thinking, I think you're our age. How old are you?
So Ryan Sanim said Zambia.
Of course,
okay.
He did. Of course he did.
So this food is called shima, and it's spelt with a silent N on the start of it. He said it doesn't look good, but the flavour blows you away. It's porridge made with maize, and you can have meat with it. Okay.
Porridge and meat.
Porridge and meat. That's interesting.
So that's shima in Zambia. Good suggestion, Ryan.
Okay, well, we'll look out for it next time we're in Zambia.
One of our regular trips over there. Okay, next, we heard from the Global Snowbirds on Instagram. They said Vietnam for pho soup or pho.
Pho, yeah.
I would love to agree with you, but we've never been to Vietnam and we are named after that dish. So
which is appalling.
We've had pho before in England, but and it is
in a shopping centre in England.
How cultural, yeah. But and I can say from that, it is a very, you know, it's one of them soups which is like a full meal. There's loads of noodles and stuff in there, and it's delicious. And they also said in Vietnam, coconut coffee. I have heard a lot about coffee in Vietnam. Apparently, it's the best place for it.
See, I don't drink coffee, but coconut coffee sounds very good. I would definitely try that. Next up is Wandering Lucy. She said Mexico, so Mexico's got another point. Her favourite is tamales, which is corn and meat served in corn leaves and is very cheap. That's what we like to hear.
That is exactly what we want. Good tip for the backpackers.
Absolutely.
But tamales.
Yeah, tamales. Okay. We haven't tried them, but we're going to be in Mexico later this year, so we'll definitely keep that on our notes.
Yep, thanks for that, Lucy. Next up, Katie and Chris at Sexy Coffee Blog. Those guys, they gave us loads, to be honest, so let's try and rattle through these. Tacos in Mexico, pork rice noodle rolls in Macau, duck bokki in South Korea, which is spicy, thick rice noodles, Japan sushi, beef soup in Philippines, and coconut chicken in Indonesia. All sounds bloody good, to be honest.
All of those sound really good. That's definitely up my street. We heard from Alan Lamb. He said best overall from him is Zanzibar because it's an amazing fusion of different cultures. He also said that his most unexpectedly great dish was kushari from Egypt. And his best dessert was pastel de nata in Portugal,
yeah,
which
boy.
We explained earlier. Best drink was egg coffee in Vietnam, another coffee one for Vietnam. And best main dish was pork buns at Tim Ho Wan in Hong Kong.
All sounds bloody great. Yeah, kushari in Egypt. Kushari? Kushari? Kushari.
Kushari, I think.
Kushari, we mentioned recently on an Egypt episode. That was a real surprise for us. That's really good food. But yeah, loads of good ones. He's also given Zanzibar a mention. And yeah, egg coffee. Doesn't sound great, but you know, I have heard people say it's amazing. And finally, those crazy kids over at Lifetime Travel Mates on Instagram, they just said, India! We've already explained, but we agree. So let's move on. This is going to be interesting. I think it's definitely worth a mention. It's important. So the worst countries that we have experienced food, maybe there were high expectations and we were disappointed, or maybe it was just rubbish. So Amy, take it away.
Yeah, so this is all from our personal point of view. Obviously, everybody has different taste buds. And so don't hate us, basically.
Yeah, and if you're from these countries, we're very sorry.
But we like you for listening. Thank you.
It's just the food. We love everything else about you and your country.
Right, so for me, I'm going to say Egypt.
Yeah, apart from Kushari.
Apart from Kushari. Kushari was really good. I feel like we should just explain what Kushari is. So Kushari in Egypt is made of rice, macaroni and lentils mixed together, topped with spiced tomato sauce and garlic vinegar, and garnished with chickpeas and crispy fried onions.
Yeah, we talked about it on our last episode, but it really is just good comfort food. I don't think it's particularly traditional in Egypt. It's because, yeah, it's the unofficial national dish. And it is very good. But the rest of Egyptian food, we both weren't really that keen, were we?
No, and I feel a bit bad putting this on my bad list, on my naughty list, because I guess it was just the places we were eating. Because we were on a tour, we were in a lot of hotel restaurants. But then even when we were looking around and trying to find street food and stuff, it just wasn't really there. And it wasn't that strong. So I'm going to put Egypt on my naughty list. And okay, now
This is very controversial.
I'm going to say France.
What?
Well, I thought it at first, okay, when we was writing this list out, I thought France, because I was talking with one of my friends about it and we were saying how French food is just quite pretentious.
It gets a lot of hype, doesn't it?
Gets a lot of hype, which I don't think it really deserves, and that kind of annoys me a little bit. But then I thought about not just the posh restaurants, because, you know, I love a posh restaurant, love a Michelin-star restaurant. It's not the pretentiousness of it. It's just the whole, oh, I'm going to put a tiny little pea on your plate and call it art. No, it's not food, and I'm not going to pay 50 quid for a pea.
Best line of the episode.
That's basically what it is. But when you think of the other side of French cuisine, so French bakeries, you know, croissants.
Cheese.
I mean, cheese is life. So I'm not sure I can actually put France on there.
But it's a good point. I actually agree. I think it gets more hype than it deserves, because when people think best food in the world, some people just automatically think, oh, the time I was in France, we had the best food ever. And I just think, really? The best food in the world? But no, it has to be up there. Yeah, so it's unfair for it to be a worst one.
Yeah, and the third one on my list and the final one is Iceland. And I say that because they are shit. No, I'm joking. Like, they don't actually have a culture or like a food culture, and the only thing that they're kind of known for is fermented shark, which quite frankly is disgusting.
Yeah, we haven't, it's supposed to be the most foul tasting thing ever.
We watched videos of people on YouTube trying to eat it, and they were even putting it close to their face where they could smell it, they were throwing up.
But when you say about the culture, that's actual Icelandic people have told us. One girl who was working in the hostel where we stayed in Reykjavik, she actually said, there is no such thing as Icelandic food. It's all like a bit Norwegian or a bit British or a bit, you know, mixture of different things. So that's straight from the horse's mouth.
Yeah, and just that mixture, I'm not really keen on like kind of that area of the world's food. That's just me. That's my taste buds.
Yeah, and plus a cold country, you know, they haven't got the climate to grow nice food, so they have to make do with what they've got. But I think it's fair enough saying Iceland. I think I'd agree with that. But for me, this is also going to be a controversial one. I'm going to go with Turkey, and people will be spitting out their pastel de natas right now as I say that, because we've actually, I think it was just because of the hype, we've heard that the best food in the world is in Turkey. And we were looking forward to that.
Everyone kept banging on about it, didn't they?
We've heard from a few people, best food in the world. And all we could find, okay, actually, the breakfast is good. I'm going to get to that in a second. But all we could find for lunch and dinner was greasy meat, just like doner kebab. They're like, oh, do you want doner kebab with rice or doner meat with bread? Doner meat with chips? And we're like, is there not anything else? So for lunch and dinner, I thought Turkey was very disappointing. But Turkish breakfast was actually fantastic. And I didn't even know they were good for breakfast, but it's like this massive selection of breads.
Meats and cheeses.
Meats and cheeses and cucumber and tomato and Turkish tea I was in love with.
Yeah, I didn't know about the Turkish breakfast either. And I'd actually say it's second for me behind England. And I know that's controversial, guys, because everybody knows our country has the worst food in the world. And I'd probably agree with you. That probably should have gone on my list. England is appalling for food. And it's quite embarrassing, actually. But our breakfast is phenomenal. actually. Yeah. We have a cooked English breakfast. It consists of beans, baked beans. You have sausage, bacon, fried eggs on there. Black pudding.
Yeah.
What else?
Sometimes bubble and squeak, which is like potatoes and like cabbage.
Hash browns.
Oh, hash browns. Now, an English breakfast. I'm putting it out there. I don't care what anyone says. Best breakfast in the world.
But yeah, turkey is a very, very, very close second for me.
And on my naughty list, as Amy said, Cuba, the food sucks. Just say no more. Doesn't deserve the airtime.
Well, just very quickly, the reason why it sucks is because they can't import food from other countries. So they try and replicate foods and drinks. So when you're there, like you are, if you want a Coca-Cola, it's their version of Coca-Cola. And yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. And it's just pumped full of sugar. Well, I know Coca-Cola normally is anyway.
Yeah, because Coke is really got yeah, no sugar in it.
Okay, fair point. Anyway, we didn't like the food in Cuba. And on also on my list is Morocco. Now, I was really looking forward to Moroccan food. They cook it in them traditional tagines, which look great. And Moroccan food looks amazing, especially when they cook it in the tagine, take the lid off. It looks really, really good.
And it smells really good as well.
Smells good, looks good. And it's kind of like, yeah, like couscous and different meats and vegetables all steamed in this tagine. But for us, there was just no flavour.
No, they're kind of like a beautiful model. They look good, they smell good, and you think, I want a piece of that. But then you taste it and you're like, this isn't good for me. It's toxic. I need to get out.
You taste it. I thought you were going to say, like, the looks are there, the smell's there, but then the personality's not there. But you went straight for taste. When you taste them, it ain't good.
Oh, okay. I kind of meant taste is in their personality. I don't know what you're thinking about there, Nick, but that's what I was going for.
Move on. Okay, so that's our worst food. So what, I had Turkey, Cuba, Morocco, and you had Egypt, France, and Iceland. Okay.
But actually, I'm going to replace France with England.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
So we're going to have a few more listener suggestions and then we're going to be designing our 3-course meal. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Right, next up, Andrea Reyes. Now she said Argentina. They have the best steak and at a decent price when compared to USA prices.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Well, I'd agree with it's good value for money. But when we were in Argentina, again, it's all about expectation. I was disappointed with the steak in Argentina. The best steak I've ever had was actually in London. It was an Argentinian restaurant. But yeah, Argentina, I was a bit disappointed.
Yeah, so they have, their barbecues are called asados or asado. And it's very different to what I thought it was going to be. Again, it's expectations, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when you're there, that you try lots of different stuff. They eat a lot of tongue there, cow tongue and intestines. That's all kind of foods that I tried it, but it really wasn't my thing. And so it kind of put me off the food. And I just kind of, at that point, wanted, you know, your standardized meat, your normal, quote, in quote marks. Yeah, like normal meat.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I like it that they use all the parts of the animal, but it's fair enough if people don't like eating that.
Yeah, sorry, can I just say I'm a massive contradiction because I completely agree with using the animal. I mean, if we're going to kill an animal, then we need to use it. We can't just be chucking away different parts of it. Like, it's just unacceptable. But at the same time,
I ain't eating that.
I ain't eating that intestine.
Give me some rump steak. Next up, we heard from Heather, who we actually backpacked around Nepal with and India.
Yeah, and that was 2013, I think.
And so this is very appropriate. She said Momo dumplings, which we had a lot of in Nepal, which we love.
And they're so good because you can either have them fried, deep fried, or you can have them boiled.
Deep fried tastes better, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, I think boiled really is a good competitor.
Okay, well, I'm all about the fried.
But inside them, you can get different fillings. So you can have a veggie one, a meat one. And I feel like there's another option. Is it cheese?
I think it's just meat and vegetable. But yeah, it's like a little, almost like a little pasta parcel, isn't it?
I think they're quite famous in China. And I believe the name begins with G. Gaoza or... But I'm probably saying that completely wrong. Forgive my ignorance there. We haven't been to China. I guess they look a little bit like ravioli, but on a bigger scale, aren't
they?
Yeah,
that's
kind of
sort of what it
mixed
is.
Mixed in pasta. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, but she also mentioned milk tea from Nepal. She then went on to say that she wondered why the milk tea in Nepal was so delicious until she gained 5 pounds and realised that it's full fat milk. But I imagine that it is very delicious. But I can't remember having it in Nepal, to be honest, but I'm sure I must have. Love that full fat milk.
You sound like one of those travellers. Oh, I mean, that was so long ago. I've been to so many other places.
So many trips to think about. Did I have milk tea in the pool? I can't remember. I probably did because I'm a tea fanatic. I drink tea everywhere.
You're a tea whore.
I am. Give it to me. Give it to me, Neil.
Family Guy reference. We heard from Kimberly Lorimer. She said, Vietnam hands down. Fresh, tasty and cheap.
Sounds good. Like we said, we haven't been, but we hear lots of very good things. We also heard from Polly, who said Santa Lucia in Spain. Great seafood, including octopus, and the flaming chorizo sausage is always a hit. Sounds good. We were in Portugal, weren't we? We saw some flaming sausage. That's not a that was not a sex joke. We literally saw a sausage on fire.
Did we?
Yeah, in that Fado bar.
Okay.
Let's move
on. Let's talk about this seafood, because I don't like fish and seafood, and I feel like this has been either veggie or meat dominating this episode. So where have you had your best seafood around the world?
Good question. I think I actually would say Portugal, them cod fish cakes. I love them. Yeah, they're big on their seafood, aren't they, in Portugal?
Really?
Yeah.
That is the best fish or seafood you've ever eaten?
But if I'm thinking of a country, yeah. Okay. Is that all right?
Yeah, no, I'd...
Do you want me to go away and think about it?
I know Portugal's really good, but I just am surprised you're saying cod and not something more...
It was great. My favourite fish is salmon, because it just tastes so good. And prawns, but I can't think of what country had the best... You know, you can get good salmon and prawns anywhere, really. Scotland is very good for salmon. That's where most of it comes from in England.
Yeah.
Next.
Lorraine Branch. Now, she said roti canai in Malaysia. She got addicted. It's a flatbread... The one with layers. Yes, you know, we've had this, like the Indian version, didn't we?
We actually made it as
well.
We
made it in an Indian cooking lesson. And it's so fun to make as well, because it's a little bit like puff pastry where you have to keep folding them so it creates layers. And then, well, with this one from India, then you kind of like stretch out the bread and make it into a circle, and then it has all these different layers. So, yeah, I guess it sounds like a similar thing, you know, similar... same continent in Asia. So that sounds very tasty.
And it is good, isn't it? That roti bread. Roti. Well, we're going to go with one of them. And Mark Dickinson, he said butter chicken masala in Penang, Malaysia. So Malaysia's got another mention. Butter curries are very good. Very bad for you, but very delicious.
Yeah, I didn't realise how bad they were for you until I actually made one.
So much butter.
Yeah, I made an Indian butter curry, and I put so much butter in it. And then by the time it was finished and we were eating it, I was thinking, this needs more butter.
Yeah.
So I obviously haven't put enough in, but I've put a ridiculous amount in. So yeah, it's quite scary actually. I don't think that's something that can be on your menu every week.
For sure, but as a one-off, delicious.
Now it's come to the time that we're going to do our three-course meal. Are you ready for this, Nick?
I am ready. I can only imagine what concoction you've come up with.
So with this one, we thought we're not going to have any rules. You can mix and match your foods from country to country, and yeah, there's no limits. What is your best three course meal, starter, main and dessert? What would you have?
And a drink.
Oh, and a drink. I forgot about that. Now let's start with a drink. It's something I spoke about earlier, and I said it's my favorite drink, caipirinhas, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Great choice.
Now, my starter. I'm going to go for a goat's cheese and caramelized onion tart.
Ooh, that does sound good.
So this tart is something that if it's on a menu, I'll go for it. I just can't resist.
You do love it.
My main dish, actually controversially, adds in some English food. So a big Yorkshire pudding. If you don't know what that is, it's part of our traditional English meal, which is called a roast dinner. And it's something we traditionally eat on a Sunday, but you know, you can have it anytime. And it's roasted meat if you want. There are veggie options as well. I think it's called a nut roast. You put the meat in the oven to roast with roast potatoes around it so they cook in the fat of the meat.
Oh yeah.
and you have loads of veg with it, a lot of peas, carrots, cabbage, loads of different things. And depending on what meat you have, that depends on what sauce you have. So pork traditionally goes with apple sauce, lamb goes with mint sauce. What are the other ones?
Yeah, beef goes with beef gravy.
Oh, no, no, it's bread sauce.
Bread sauce and horseradish.
Yeah, that's another sauce. So yeah, it's really good. But my main dish comprises of one big Yorkshire pudding, which is the side of a roast dinner. And it's made with batter, the same way you'd make a pancake, actually. But you put it in the oven and it rises. And it's just kind of, what shape would you call it?
Yeah, God, like a bowl shape. You know, we talked about bread bowls earlier that you have soup in. It looks like that, doesn't it?
So this is where it's going to get weird. So I'm going to have a Yorkshire pudding for my main dish. Inside, I'm going to have a layer of mushroom rice. Then a layer of chana, which is chickpeas.
My God.
It's going to be so weird. Then I want a layer of lamb sag, because that's my favourite Indian curry. So a lamb sag. Sag means spinach. So it's spinach curry, and it's so, so good. It's a very garlicky dish. And then that's going to be topped with feijoada, which is the beef stew from Brazil. So jumping from England to India to Brazil. And then it's going to be topped with farofa, which we haven't explained, have we, Nick?
Nope.
So this is something you put on top of a feijoada. And it's basically just breadcrumbs. But I think there's garlic and onion in there as well, all kind of diced up into breadcrumbs. And it's something you just sprinkle on top of your stew. And it's really good.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, like
it's
really good. Think breadcrumbs would be rubbish, but it's so tasty.
Yeah, so that's my main dish.
That's ridiculous.
If you're not full up with that, I can offer you a dessert. And for that, my friends, I'm going to go for Dutch brownies.
Interesting. Okay, just any particular reason why they're just Dutch? Okay, moving on.
I love a brownie. I really do.
Great. Oh, good. That does sound like an amazing meal. I've just gone for like actual traditional dishes, but you've put like five together.
Yeah, I've really dreamt that up. And then with the brownie, I have a strong specification with it. The brownie has to be hot and it needs to come with freezing cold ice cream. I don't know what other kind of ice cream you can get.
Yeah,
but
only
cold
the cold
ice cream.
Only the cold type.
So yeah, that's my cuisine there. That's my three-course meal. And actually, I've just thought we should get people to vote for this. I think we should ask people, whose meal would you rather eat?
Okay, let's do it. So you got to hear mine now. So for starter, it's called a prawn puri, which is an Indian dish. It's puri bread with a kind of sauce, mix of spices and prawns, or shrimp as they call it in America, and that's my favorite starter in the world. It's delicious. So that's Indian. Then my main course is just feijoada, the Brazilian food. We know it's my favorite. Dessert, pastel de nata, the little egg custard tarts that we spoke about earlier from Portugal. And to drink, this definitely deserves a mention, beer from the Czech Republic, really Prague, because they have some of the most freshest, delicious beers. And because a lot of the pubs in Prague make their own beer, it's made on site, no preservatives in the beer. And because beer gets drunk so quickly in the Czech Republic, they don't need the beer to last longer. So, you know, all the antioxidants and stuff, the chemicals they put in, you don't need any of that. And the beer there is just so fresh and delicious, and you don't get a hangover. Well, maybe if you have like 16, you would. But that is my perfect meal. So you got a bit of Indian, Brazilian, Portuguese, and a bit of Czech in there as well.
So I would say that your meal, as good as that food is, it's a bit boring. I mean, it wasn't very imaginative, was
it? You got a Yorkshire pudding with rice and Indian food, curry, feijoada.
Yeah.
It's a bit crazy, but I can't argue with it. It sounds amazing.
Well, so we need to get people to vote. So if you can get in touch with us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, or for our website, if it really means that much to you, give us an email.
Whose meal would you rather have, Amy's or mine?
There you go.
So just to finish off, the final suggestions we had from listeners, we also heard from Luke Teasdale, who gave a shout out to Japan.
Simon Hogland is going to go for Finland.
Juliet Shaw said Colombia.
And thanks for giving me this one to read, Nick. I really hope I get your name right. Ekaterina and Diva said Turkey or Italy. See, yeah, we've gone a whole episode without talking about Italian food. For me, it's because it's so common, it's one of those things that, like, I don't know, I don't really think about it that much, but I just want to give a shout out to Mark Delaventura. So he came to one of our faux parties all the way from America, because he is absolutely crazy.
Legend.
In a good way. We love him to bits. But he stayed with us and couch surfed, and his family own an Italian restaurant. And he made us a sauce that I dream about on a daily basis.
Yeah, this pasta sauce.
Even now. It was unbelievable. It had like a tomato base, and then it had loads of cheese in it, which made it quite creamy, and it just blew me away. So yeah, that's Italian food. Italian food is brilliant. You know, pizzas, pasta, you can get calzone. It's all so good. But it's just not very high up on my list.
Yeah, but it can, yeah, I know what you mean. It goes about saying Italian food is everywhere, arguably the most famous in the world. And sometimes there's nothing better than a bit of pizza. But yeah, so Italy has to be up there. But of course, there's far more to Italy than just pizza and pasta, we know. But yeah, Italy is a good choice. And George Haley said Thailand best, China worst.
Okay.
Thailand, yeah, I do like Thai food. There's actually a place near where we used to live in England, in Chelmsford. That's the best Thai food I've ever had. It's better than Thailand.
Yeah, it's like a little street food place, and it's great because no one there can speak English. It's so cool. They're all authentically Thai, and it's amazing food.
We're going to give them a shout out. It's Lex, isn't it?
Yeah, Lex, L-E-K-S. If you're in Chelmsford, then go there. It's like some of the best food I've ever eaten, actually. It's amazing.
So that is everyone's suggestions. Oh my God, there were so many. So thank you so much for getting in touch. Finally, we just want to give some honourable mentions for stuff that maybe we didn't mention in the episode. I actually want to give the USA a shout out. And Amy's going to be thinking, what? Burgers? McDonald's? What are you on about? But
no, I'm not going to say McDonald's sums up America.
Yeah, I know. But when I was in the USA, this was about 10 years ago, but I was actually very impressed that any city, any town, if you wanted a certain type of food, you could find it. And it will be a decent standard as well. I don't want to say that, well, food is. Food's a big part of their culture. Anywhere you were in America, I thought you could get some decent food. So I want to give that a shout out. Dal bhat in Nepal, that's like the dish the locals eat twice a day, every day. It's like a selection of different curries and chutneys and rice, which I really liked. Black pudding's a big one, which some people think is disgusting. Pig's blood, but we eat it in England. Spain and Portugal also have some very good black puddings.
It's very weird, but guys, it is actually really delicious.
Very tasty. We mentioned hummus a lot, but with some falafel, dip a bit of falafel in it. I think falafel is also made of chickpeas. It's like deep fried chickpeas. Dip it in more chickpeas.
Oh, falafel is so good.
Falafel is very good. Me personally, wine from South America, like Argentina and Chile, some of my favourites. Really like that. And finally from me, wine, red wine from South America, like Argentina or Chile. I'm a big fan.
And my honourable mentions, we kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but Australian kangaroo, that's actually very good.
Good.
And the piece of meat that we had was from the bum, basically, because that's where the kangaroo gets its workout. So it's really good tender meat. And it's kind of a mix of, I don't know, like lamb and duck and beef.
Yeah.
It's just a really, really nice mix, so I'd recommend that. In Jordan, shawarma. So a lot of the Middle Eastern countries have shawarma, which is kind of meat cooked on coal, and then it's in a wrap, or you can have it with rice, or you can have it with chips, and it's just like a really good mix. But I definitely like the version from Jordan, because they put it in a wrap, and then they put a hot iron on a really flat surface, and kind of burn it flat, if that makes sense. And the white sauce that comes with it is unbelievable. I don't really know what's in it, but it's good.
No, it's a chef's special sauce. Now, shawarma in Jordan was really good.
Very good. I don't drink tea or coffee or any hot drinks, but I love tea from Morocco and Jordan and Turkey. It's a lot of sweet tea. There's lots of sugar in there, and mint as well, mint tea. I really like that. Oh, another one for me from Jordan is mansaf.
Yeah, this is the traditional meal there. It's a massive plate in the middle of the table. Rice, meat, peanuts, which is a bit random, but delish. Coriander sprinkled all over it. And then you get this like watery yogurt sauce, which at first looks a bit disgusting, but it's so tasty.
It's actually fermented dried yogurt.
Fermented dried yogurt. And then, yeah, big plate in the middle. Everyone just tucks in with their hands. Real, real good dish.
It really is. And so you can not only find that in Jordan, you can also find it in Palestine, Iraq, southern Syria and Saudi Arabia too. So that kind of like Middle Eastern area.
Mansaf.
I want to give a little mention to Poland for their bread soup. So you get a bread bowl. The bowl is literally made out of bread and they pull the insides out of the bread and then they pour soup inside. I'm also not a very dairy type person, but I absolutely fell in love with Greek yogurt with honey. I just like got so addicted to it. I just needed it every day after I had it for the first time. And I really don't like yogurt. It just makes me feel funny, makes my stomach feel funny. It's not as watery as normal yogurt as we would find in England. It's more firm. And then when you put that honey on top, it's so, so good. And I want to finish with the Maldives. Now, we had unbelievable food in the Maldives. Obviously, it was our honeymoon and we were staying at like a luxury resort. So this isn't actually Maldivian food, but I had the best pink risotto of my life. It's pink because it's beetroot. Beetroot risotto, and it was so good. It's another food that I dream about on a regular basis.
So, wow, a fully packed show. And I mean, it actually is the time of the day for us where we're going to be cooking dinner soon, and I'm glad because I really am hungry after talking about all that food. Sorry if we made you hungry and you're in a position where you can't get something to eat, but if you guys are about to eat, hopefully we got you in the mood. I thought that was really fun. I really enjoyed talking about food from all around the world.
Yeah, I love food and we need it to exist, so great.
And it's just one other great excuse to go around the world, try different foods and love life. So Amy, let's now go and make those naked burritos you were talking about earlier. And literally naked burritos, because it's a good thing you guys can't see, but because we're in a really hot...
You're actually going to say this right
now. We're in a really hot room in Brazil, in the north of Brazil. If we put the air conditioner on, then it makes too much of a noise.
Oh.
So we are sweating and we're both naked. See you next time, guys. Don't forget, you can get in touch with the show. You can email us at whatthefoepodcast@gmail.com. We are also on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we are also on Patreon. For more information on all those things, you can go to our website, www.whatthefoetravelpodcast.com.